you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy today to be speaking with Joel Kessel of Kessel Strategies. How are you, Joel?
Wonderful. Thank you, Mickey. How are things with you today?
Things are good today. It's no longer cloudless. I can't say that, but it's a nice sunny day here in Atlanta. I think I'm going to go for a walk shortly. Remind me where in the country you are.
I am in Central Ohio. I've been based here for, about 13 years, born and raised in Northeast Ohio, but then I spent 14 years in Chicago right after school. Mm-hmm. And then, came back here, like I said, 13 years ago with a wife and a child, which is the impetus behind us coming back here. But it's been a great transition for us.
Excellent. I don't want to steal your thunder. So please tell us what your area of expertise is and what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, like you said, I'm with Kessel Strategies, and really we focus on helping growth-minded leaders gain clarity. We do that primarily through executive coaching. I run some peer group learning groups. Strategic planning, as well as team leadership development.
Okay. So a lot of the juicy stuff, I think that's what I refer to it as in my own practice. It's a little more involved, a little more philosophical sometimes. How did you get into the business?
Yeah, great question. You know, my background is in journalism with a focus in public relations. That's what my degree is in 20 plus years ago. Went to Chicago, like I said, and worked for a number of different PR and communication agencies. And through that evolution or through that process, really started getting interested in more of the strategy. I started asking, you know, the older I got, the wiser I got, I think, and started asking a lot more, well, why are we doing that? Why are we launching that program? Or what impact is that? So I started asking a lot of those strategy type questions, and the feedback I was getting from clients over the years just led me to naturally do more of this type of work of strategic planning and executive coaching, primarily now with nonprofit CEOs and executive directors.
Right.
That's been a process that's been in about the last 10 years, started that evolution to doing more and more of this work.
I'm going to ask a really dumb question here, which is how do you get nonprofit executives to be your clients? Most nonprofit executives I know are sort of scrabbling to put together their own budgets, and they don't have much money outside of mission-oriented activities to pay for, you know, ongoing education, for instance, or things like coaching. How does I hate to be so crass about it, but how does that work?
No, that's thank you for asking, because I have to be very strategic, right? And part of my strategy, I keep it simple. If you go online, you're not going to see, you know, me doing a lot of social media type stuff. My strategy is partnering and aligning with community foundations and United Ways, and I offer them, I ask them, what are they doing in terms of capacity building? I will come in and I'll run a 90-minute to a 3-hour workshop on strategic planning, and it's a value add to their local agency partners. So they bring in the nonprofits, I come with all the content, we have a great 90-minute, 3-hour session together. That's how then I get in front of those nonprofit leaders. That leads to either coaching or strategic planning, how they pay for that. Sometimes they do have the budgets. Other times they will turn right around to that community foundation or United Way and get that funding to support our work together.
Right. Amazing. Very cool. So in some of the notes that you sent me, and this may be the way to start off this conversation, you've said that only with around 1.5 million nonprofits in the United States, only about half of them have a strategic plan. Let's start from there. What does that mean? And how do we, I mean, it sort of shocks me, but it doesn't shock me. It's one of those statements where I'm like, holy mackerel, really? Half are operating without a strategy, but let's pick it up from there.
Yeah. You know, I think part of it is there's this myth or the word strategy might scares some people. They think it's this daunting task, and it really doesn't have to be. So what I try to do is to come in and make it doable. and really walk them and take them through a process where, you know what, we can do this, but more importantly, it's why do we need to do this? You know, those organizations that don't have a strategic plan, I know what's going on. They're overworked. They're stressed. Their staff, there's low morale, low productivity. There's lack of alignment, direction, and focus between leadership, the board, the staff, the volunteers. Things are disarray, right? And so, you know, what I try to do is to come in and one, make it doable, and then two, take them through a very easy process that's truly going to help them gain that alignment, gain that clarity and focus, so they can start knowing what to say no to and being clear on what to say yes to. As a result, they're going to get more time back, I believe, because now they know where to invest that time.
Right.
It's going to guide them in their decision-making. Again, what do we say yes to? What do we say no to? I was having a coaching call yesterday with a client, an executive director, and she said, now that we have this plan in place, we had our board meeting last month, we had a unique situation come up, a request of us, and we started talking about it, and a board member asked, well, what's our strategic plan tell us? Wonderful. And all of a sudden, they were able to have a more in-depth strategic conversation on this opportunity, whether we should do it or not. So it really helped them in that decision-making process. And it's going to impact culture. It's going to impact productivity, morale within the organization, because now everybody is aligned. We're heading in the right direction. We know what direction, where we're going.
So I have two questions also sort of stemming from my shock, which is, first of all, the first one definitely stems from this area, which is how does an organization end up with no strategic plan?
You know, I think it's over time. At one moment in time, they typically have had a plan, but then all of a sudden 5 years go by, 7 years go by, and they fall into that overworked phase, not knowing what to say no to. Putting out fires. I hear that all the time. We're just trying to keep the lights on. I hear that a lot. And they fall into this rut that's really, really hard to get out of. And sometimes if we just hit the pause button, take a step back and slow down in order to speed up. Now, look, a lot of times I'll come in and work on a strategic planning initiative with an organization. And the reality is we're building the car while it's still running.
Yeah.
You know, there's still work and, advancing missions and things that absolutely have to still get done. But at the same time, we're also trying to, put new wheels on that and change the, put gas in the car and those sorts of things. But in all of that, slowing down to speed up is really, important to think of it that way.
Yep.
In order to get back on the right path and go where you need to be going.
Yeah, I almost snarkily said, never mind the human component, never mind burnout and lack of direction and poor morale. I mean, think about how much more sharply you could be using your finances if you have a strategic plan that sort of dictates how the actions get done and how those energies get spent.
Absolutely.
Huge impacts on the financial side as well. The yep. second question I want to ask you for a second go is, when you're coaching an exec, is the work you're doing with the executive all related to the organization? Is it all mission oriented, or is it interpersonal and sometimes like intrapsychic?
All of the above. Typically, my approach is a very Socratic approach. I come in and ask a lot of questions. Typically, I'll start a session off with what's important to talk about today. And it's up to them to determine, I've got this thing that's going on with a staff person, or I've got something happening with a board member. It may be, I've gotten this a few times in the last several months. I'm thinking about retiring. How do I go about, communicating that? What's a good timing, time frame around that? So it really is up to the client and that director or CEO to, bring up, you know, what is it you want to focus on? Because really, Mickey, what happens here is, you know, I talked with an executive director in Chicago about a year or so ago. He said, you know what, the work you're doing is so needed, because a lot of executive directors or CEOs of nonprofits are busy taking care of their staff, their volunteers, their boards, and no one is taking care of them.
Right.
It is a lonely job. They feel isolated a lot of times, and they have no one to turn to. I just got off of a peer group session a few minutes ago before I jumped on this, and we had 11 nonprofit CEOs and executive directors get together for 3 hours via Zoom, and it was an opportunity for them to get together and just share with each other, bounce ideas off of each other, and be vulnerable, really. When we did our checkout at the end, that came up a lot. Just the appreciation that they had to share and be open and honest with each other and have a safe place to go to really not vent, but to come and say, here is what I'm dealing with. What would you guys do? What advice and insights do you have for me? And that's where growth happens. And it's an opportunity for that executive director not to feel lonely anymore, but actually have tangible things that they can go back to their job with much more confidence, much more enthusiasm and energy to truly make an impact, which is why they're there in the first place, is to advance that mission and make an impact in their community and among the people that they're serving.
Right. And solve so many different problems at once.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's the secret to, I mean, I feel like we're switching back and forth between coaching and doing strategic plans here. So forgive me my ADD.
I do it all the time too. So it's fine. It's whatever, wherever it needs to go.
Right. What's the secret to getting a good strategic plan done?
Well, number one is determining, you know, if we're ready. That's really step one. And some of the things we should be asking ourselves is, are we aligned with the board? Does the board feel, you know, we need a strategic plan? Do we have the financial resources? Do we have a leadership team that is in place and not going anywhere soon?
Right.
Do we have the time to invest in something like this? So step one is just simply determining, are we ready to go through a process to develop a strategic plan? And then step two, I don't know how deep you want to go into this, but there's a lot of other steps than, you know, from, you know, I break it up into three phases. Really, there's that pre-planning, there's mm-hmm. the actual development of the plan, and then it's the execution of that plan.
Yeah, I think we should definitely talk about those phases. Unless you're short of time, let's do it.
I'm good on time. So so some of the things to think about, and Mickey, I want to say this. What I share, my process and approach isn't etched in stone, right? You Google strategic planning and you're going to come back with a lot of different ways to go about this. Yeah. For me, at a very high level, four things are really important here. One, where are we going? Two, what do we need to do? Three, how are we going to do it? And then four, oh, by the way, how are we going to track our progress and impact,
yeah,
you know, over that? Another thing to keep in mind is strategy is not an event. It's a process. So this isn't a one and done thing and we did it, check off the box. There's an opportunity to go through this process and make it part of the culture and the fabric of your organization moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Quick story, another executive director, they went through this process, came away with a one-page strategy, which I'm a big fan of. Less is more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, hey, what if this strategic plan became your agenda at every board meeting? Huh. They just implemented it at their last board meeting. Had a call with her yesterday. She's like, you wouldn't believe how well received it was.
Yeah.
That's how you can stay on top of your strategy and how that strategy then will get executed. Because I hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. We have a plan, but it sat in a drawer, sat on someone's desk. We had a plan. It was 45 pages long. No one's going to read through that.
No one's going to.
So really,
Plan I ever saw was basically a table outlined on 1 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And it was concise. Of course, we had a little more documentation when we talked about measuring goals and demonstrating efficacy, but the plan itself was outlined on one sheet of paper in a table. But anyway, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So if we take a look at sort of the process that I typically walk organizations through, there's setting the foundation. So what I mean by setting the foundation, it's sort of that plan before we actually plan. Who's part of your planning team? Is it just the board? Is it a broad cross-section of people? Done it both ways, right? Sometimes it's just the board. Other times, I've worked with a domestic violence organization. We had the executive director, board, staff, volunteers. We had a major donor. We also had two clients, two survivors in those planning sessions. Wow, you talk about the dynamics and the broad perspectives and the where the conversations went was really, really beneficial.
Yeah.
Now, if you're an organization where it's just the board that's going through the planning efforts, I would encourage you, okay, you've got to get those other perspectives somehow. Data collection, more research, surveys, talk to your volunteers, talk to the people that you're impacting, right? Gain insights and perspective from them, other community leaders, donors, right? We've got to start gathering and getting those different perspectives because those perspectives are what, you know, we need to have represented in those conversations. And when we do actually sit in the boardroom and start to hash this out. Planning horizon. Are we looking at 12 months, 3 years, 5 years? In the last 2 years, I would say a majority of organizations are focusing on 3-year plans, some 18 months. They're a little bit shorter, just changing world. Things are happening so fast.
Yep.
So,
and to build on that a little bit, I've actually advocated for in some of the nonprofit work that I do, the consulting work that I do, I'll say, okay, let's get the immediate plan. Then that's the 12-month picture. But then I'd like to try to get a couple people to look at a 5-year plan and get them to think about forecasting and what might change in the next 5 years. And those things don't have to be in stone, but
right.
But I want them to have some awareness of what that horizon looks like. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's really good. That's really good. You know, also part of this is taking a look at the world around us. As we continue to prepare for our planning, it's that environmental scan. It's, you know, what is happening politically in society, what's going on legally in the environment, just all those different things that we really don't have control over, but right. there changes in those areas or things happening in those areas definitely have an impact on how we operate and run our organization.
Yeah.
And I encourage organizations and planning teams to have that conversation, not to make excuses on why we can't do something. It's simply to make us more aware. So when we do dive deep into the strategy conversations, we have that awareness
yep.
in the back of our minds. So it's a better conversation. So once we have all the preparation ready, data, research, planning team, the planning horizon. Now we're going to get together. We'll talk about our realizing our future. You know, we're talking vision, mission, core values. You know, sometimes organizations will say, hey, we're good with our mission and our vision. Can we just go to this next phase? I say, you know, we could, but we're going to be doing ourselves a disservice.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to still go through the exercise because the questions that are asked and the conversations that we have impact the full strategy. And what I will tell people is typically what happens when we're looking and talking about vision and mission specifically, one of three things is going to happen. Number one, we're going to validate that what we have is actually true. Two, we realize, you know what, we need to make a tweak to make this more accurate. Or three, we are way off right now and we need to scrap what we had and start all over again. And so going through that exercise is really going to help us develop yeah. what that next vision and mission is.
Yeah.
In terms of values, you know, some organizations will skip over that as well. But that is probably one of the most critical pieces, I think, in the whole strategy process. What do we believe in? How do we behave? Being clear on our core values, again, it's going to go back to who do we need to attract? Donors, volunteers, employees, right? Those future board members, you know, do our values attract the right people that we need to be surrounded by?
Yeah.
And having clarity around those values is going to help in that regard. And I would take it a step further. You know, sometimes organizations will stop at, well, we're trustworthy. We value integrity. We value respect. And I'm like, that's great. That could be any organization, for-profit or nonprofit. I would take it a step further and say, great, respect. What do you mean by respect? How do you define respect? And all of a sudden, that organization takes ownership of that word and that value, and they get to define what they mean by respect. And so adding that value statement from their perspective further, it really helps differentiate them from any other organization that may say respect is a core value. So I encourage organizations to really go deeper and ask themselves, what do we mean by this core value? And gaining clarity and alignment around that.
Right.
You know, beyond the realizing your future, the mission, vision, core values, we move into, you know, assessing the organization. You can do a SWOT analysis.
Yep.
Some organizations, I'll simply just say, you know what, we're going to focus on strengths and weaknesses only, because oftentimes weaknesses are opportunities. And yep. And if we take care of our strengths and weaknesses, then the threats simply go away.
Yep. I've done that exact thing. Yep.
So, you know, you can save yourselves a lot of time by just focusing on strengths and weaknesses, and that's fine. In all of this, Mickey, if someone is taking good notes, if you're in a boardroom and you're oversized post-its and you're taking, you know, great notes of what's being talked about, the conversations around vision, mission, values, the conversations around, you know, what are we strong at? What are we weak at? Once we identify those, if we ask, okay, how can we enhance and build upon our strengths? How can we deal with our weaknesses? There's a lot of ideas coming up, bubbling up to the top. And I tell people this all the time. It is going to feel chaotic. It's going to feel messy. And that is okay. Yeah, I call it liminal space. And that liminal space is what that space between what was and what's to come. And oftentimes we're frustrated in that liminal space. We start to get those self-limiting beliefs start to seep in, you know. And really, I look at that as, wow, what a great opportunity to embrace that that feeling of not knowing, and we get to create something. We get to create that impact that we want to create. So it is going to feel a little messy at this point. But you know, another exercise that I'll take people through is really helping them tighten their focus or separate objectives from initiatives. So what we need to do versus how we need to do it. Mm-hmm. And the objectives are more the strategy type things versus the tactical things. So for example, tightening your focus through our conversations, we might realize, boy, we really need to diversify our funding. Great. That would be a strategy. Tactically, or an initiative to support that, is we have to create a fundraising plan. We have to do an assessment of our P&L, you know, those tactical things that would support diversifying our funding or getting us in a better position to know what direction to go into. So it gets a little messy, but there are some exercises to go through to gain that clarity around the what we need to do versus how we're going to do it. Obviously, measurements are all part of that. You know, once, let's say, for example, we do an assessment of our financials. Okay. We want to increase funding in this area by 10% in the next 2 years, you know, whatever the case may be, but identifying what those measurements are. And then pulling together your one-page strategy. You can pull that together. That's going to give you a lot of clarity. Identifying those year one priorities. I'm a fan of that. Again, less is more.
Yep.
Let's say we have three things we're going to focus on in the first 12 months. And then once we identify those, then I encourage work plans.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, develop. All right, go deeper then in that specific objective and initiative. What is the work plan to make that actually happen in year one?
When you do this, do you attach names to it?
Yes, champions. We call them champions or owners. Absolutely. You know, here's I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times I'll be in a session and I'll see the look on the executive director's face and it's not good. It's like, oh my gosh, who's going to do all this work? Right. Right. And now I've become much more aware of that. And I remind people through the process, look, guys, there's a lot going on here, but I encourage you, don't think the executive director is going to do all of this stuff. It is not her or his job. Now, they are the main champion of the overall plan, but they're going to need some help.
Oh yeah.
Depending on how involved a board is, there's some organizations where the finance committee takes on a lot of the financial stewardship type activities.
Yep.
Gives them something to do. It makes I hear that all the time where the board's not engaged. This will get them engaged.
Yep. Absolutely.
So yes, champions are definitely part of this process.
I know that accountability is always a big issue for nonprofits in terms of, everyone's happy to come together, do the retreat, have some pizza and a beer when they're done. But then you get the plan and it sits in the drawer again for the next, 12 months, like we just talked about at the beginning of the episode. Yeah. So how do you add accountability to that, and how do you keep people on track with achieving those goals is another huge trick. But I like the idea of calling them champions. I think that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, and that accountability piece, if it's structured the right way, the accountability simply falls into place.
Yes. And
what I mean by that is, what I talked about earlier, the one client who actually has made the strategic plan part of their agenda at every board meeting. Well, when they report on the different initiatives, they give it the champion gives it a red, yellow, or green on the status. Mm-hmm. If it's red or yellow, Why is it red or yellow? What do we need to do to raise it up to green? I guarantee you, no one's going to come to that meeting not with a report and not with a status. There's a level of accountability for that champion and whoever they've recruited for their team to make progress every single month, because every single month it's on the agenda for the board meeting. So there's built-in accountability right there.
Joel, I hate to say it, but we're running out of time. What comes next?
What comes next?
Yeah.
With the whole strategy is the execution. Now we've got those work plans in place. We're making progress. We're reporting back to the board at every board meeting. We're making adjustments along the way. And, speaking of adjustments, what we need to do typically doesn't change, but the how we do it definitely does. So if we come back and we're at a yellow, what do we need to do to make it green?
Yeah.
Because what we've been doing hasn't been working. Now, all of a sudden, we can tweak and adjust how we're going about meeting that objective.
And I like the idea of framing it as sort of a strategic dashboard. It's not granular and numbers filled, at least not directly, but the idea that you have a dashboard and you can see where the green lights are and where the yellow lights are, that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
What parting words of advice would you have for a nonprofit listener at this point? What would you say to them that it's important for them to absorb from all this?
Choose a process and trust the process. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of different ways to go about strategic planning. I've been in some sessions where we didn't even talk about, at that point, mission and vision. We went straight to what are the inputs? What are the desired outputs? What are the undesired outputs? And how are we going to address them? So, different discussion, different way of going about that still works, right? So my point there is just choose a process and then trust that process. Take the time you need. We're talking many times about a 3-year plan. We're not going to crank this out in 3 hours. So take the time you need to plan appropriately for that 3-year planning horizon, if that's how long it is.
Right.
Engage them. What I mean by that is engage stakeholders. Get those perspectives at the table. Get them involved in the process as much as possible. Donors, volunteers, board members, all those folks. Ask open-ended questions throughout the process and suspend judgment. That's a tough one. Suspending judgment, but being mindful to ask the open questions. It's being inquisitive and not advocating for an idea, but inquiring about, well, why do we think that's going to work, or why do we think that's important or is going to make an impact? So suspend judgment, continue to ask those curious questions. And then along those lines is always think why not instead of why we can't. You know, flip that equation. You know, why not? Who says we can't do that, right? And so think more positively and glasses half full. You know, those are just some additional thoughts that I have around strategy. And don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, again, it goes back to that. It's lonely at the top. Yep. Some of these executive directors do feel isolated. Don't be afraid to reach out and get some help if you need that. And there are, you know, board members, there's other folks like myself and you that are happy to be that sounding board or offer that advice and counsel if they need it.
Absolutely. Excellent stuff, Joel. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you and to learn more about your processes, how would you suggest they find you?
Well, they can definitely visit my website at kesselstrategies.com, and that's K-E-S-S-E-L. I can be found on LinkedIn. Be happy to connect with you on LinkedIn just to reference Mickey and my conversation here. And I'd gladly connect with you there. Email me, joel@kesselstrategies.com.
Awesome. Joel, again, I hope we can visit sometime in the future and do another one of these episodes. And in the meantime, thanks for being my guest on the Snapcast today.
Absolutely, Mickey. Thank you for the opportunity. And we will meet each other at CauseCamp.
Oh, I can't wait. That's right.
So looking forward to that.
It's going to be great. Thanks, Joel.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.